Praise God. God is faithful. We've been in a series called Grace to the Humble. Let's turn to a few scriptures. James 4, verse 6, and then we'll go to 1 Peter 5. That's just the next book right after James, so not too far to turn. But if you go to James 4, we'll start there. James 4, verse 6. He said, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he said, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Verse 7, therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Verse 6 says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Therefore, submit to God. The word submit means to rank under. It means to put under. It means to put ourselves under God. That means whatever he said, whatever he directs, that's what we're going to do. Then it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Let's go over to 1 Peter 5, verse 5. It says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Everybody said, he cares for me. God Almighty cares for me. He cares for me. Amen. He cares for us. And right before that, he said, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Then casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. As you humble yourself before him, you're going to be doing what he would have you to do, and you cast all care of life, of walking the path that he has for you, onto him. So while you're walking with him, you're going to do what he called you to do, what he's told you to do, and then you're going to cast all the care over on him because he has broad shoulders, he can handle it. Do you know we are not meant to carry care? Our bodies can't handle it. Our bodies can't handle it. They break down over time with the stress. We're not meant to carry it. We're meant to cast our care onto him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But he said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Philippians 2, 5, we read this scripture. Philippians 2, 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So Jesus is our example. The Bible said that he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Romans 12, verse 1. Go ahead and turn to Romans 12. We'll pick up a little bit of what we covered last week and we'll go forward. Romans 12, verse 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. He said that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That means that we do what he would have us to do. We present our bodies a living sacrifice to do what he would have us to do. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now, this says not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but that doesn't mean you don't think highly of yourself. You don't think, religion a lot of times teaches people to think low of themselves, to beat yourself up. God is not pleased with you. But Jesus shed his blood so we could be righteous. We are supposed to think highly of yourself, but not be puffed up in pride. But that doesn't mean you think low of yourself. We think in line with what God said about us. If he said it, then we agree with him. He said, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Now notice all this in context. He said, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Don't be conformed to this world. He said, don't think more highly than you ought to think, but think soberly as each God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. And then he gets into that he has given, that all members of the body of Christ do not have the same function. We talked about that last week. We're touching on it here and going a little bit further. But everybody has a calling. Everybody has a function. There is no part of the body that doesn't have a function. We're talking about the body of Christ. Everybody is called to do something. God has a purpose for each individual. And he has given us, as we hear and are guided by what he's told us to do, then we can have faith to do what he told us to do. Because faith comes by hearing. It comes by hearing the word of God. So as he's directing you and guiding you through his word and through his particular will for your life, you can have faith because you hear what he said. Now faith will rise up and you can say, yes, I can do that. I can do what you said I could do. So there's a measure of faith to get accomplished what he's called you to do. You don't have faith to do what somebody else has been called to do. You ever look at somebody else and say, man, I just don't know how they're able to go do that. Well, if they've been called, they are reacting to what God told them to do. So he's called them to do that. They say, yes, I'll do that. They step out. There's an enablement and there's faith to do it. He didn't tell you to do that, so you're not going to be able to have faith and you don't have the grace to do it. You can't just go and do what we want to do, not in the kingdom of God. It doesn't mean you couldn't try to get something done, but there's not going to be a path that God has prepared. There's not going to be grace or enablement to do it, and you're going to be doing it in your own strength, just like the world does. And we're not supposed to do things like the world does. We are reliant on him. So he said, we're all members of one another, verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Notice that. The grace is given to you. The ability is given to you. And it's as God wills. God set all the members of the body as he would want. If you have a problem where somebody is set, then you need to go talk to God about it. Go ask him about it. But it says, let us use them, the gifts. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So he gives some examples of what we ought to be, or some different examples of people functioning in their gift. And he's saying, let us use what we've been given. You can't use what somebody else has been given. We have to use what we've been given. As we are faithful to do that, we're going to get more. He's going to tell us to do more. Now we have the option. you know, we have a choice whether we're going to obey or not. God will stretch you. You do something, you do it faithfully, then he's going to give you more. Now we have the choice. Are we going to do that or not? So we covered some of that last week. We went through 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 12, we went through that whole area of Scripture. Let's just read through it. I don't want to get stuck here because we could dive in again, but we're not. I just want, just for everybody, so we'll read this and then we'll go on, I believe. But 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 says, just as a body, we're going to read this in the NIV, just as a body through one has many parts, but all its parts, form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given this one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? I mean, think about it. We know this very well with a natural body. If you had something that just had eyes all over it, you just had eyes looking everywhere, we'd consider that a freak, a monster. Something is wrong, right? That's not a healthy body. No, a healthy body is going to have all these different parts. But when people step into what we're talking about here, he's relating the body of Christ to a human body, people will look and say, well, everybody should be doing things like that. And they'll point to one part. Well, that totally is not in line with what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He's saying there's lots of parts and each part has a different function and you don't want all of one part. So we don't want to look to somebody else and what they're doing. Boy, wouldn't it be great if everybody would be like that? If everybody were like that, I mean, you know, opposites attract and people complement each other and different gifts enable one another to function at a higher level. So if we just had all the parts the same, there's going to be a big breakdown. A lot of times we think, well, if everybody were more like, you know, each individual is thinking, if the people were like me, you know, like an individual, hey, I wish this person were like me, or, you know, another person's thinking, I wish they were like me. Well, you know, you get a lot of people like you, or like me, or like anybody, you start to rub each other the wrong way, too. A lot of times the things that annoy us most about our people are the things that we do. We just don't see it. We see it in somebody else. Jesus talked about that. He said, you know, why are you getting the speck out of your brother's eye when you got this log in yours? But it's real easy to do, you know, why don't you move that, why don't you move that, and all the time we got this log sticking out of our eye. But no, we need one another. We need to have many parts in the body. So he said, verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. See, it's tempting. Well, we don't need this type of... if we don't need this type of gift, we're going to be missing. We need... Everybody, how many of you know God knows what he's doing in setting the body of Christ up? And that's his job, not our job. So we need one another. Verse 22, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. And while our presentable parts need no special treatment, or while presentable parts need no special treatment, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, and that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? The understood answer is no. Not everybody is all these things any more than everybody's an eye. In your body, you have a bunch of eyes or a bunch of ears or a bunch of heads or a bunch of arms. No. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healings, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you a more excellent way. And then he goes into love. And this is segue into chapter 13. But we went into that a little more last week. My purpose today is not to go into that. But he's saying here, the body of Christ is made up of different parts. And we were talking about that in context of a humble person is going to do what God would call him to do, regardless of what that part is, that they're going to say, yes, sir, I'm going to do that. Pride will say, no, I want to do what I want to do. Humility will say, Lord, what do you want me to do? You want me to be, you know, an eye, an ear? What have you made me? It's not really what you want to be, because he's made you something and he's graced you and he's asked you to do something. You can try to do something else. But, you know, people can walk. You know, some of these gymnasts and stuff, they can do handstands and walk on their hands, but I guarantee you they can't go as fast as a sprinter going on their feet. Yeah, you can get some stuff done with other parts of your body, but, you know, when you use the part for what it's made to be used for, it works a whole lot better. And some of it just doesn't work. I mean, you can't see out of your ear. I don't think. Most people can't. But no, we need to be humble and do what he's called us to do. So we covered that some last week. We're not going to go over all that, but go back and you can listen to that message. But I want to go a little bit further today. We just read in Romans 12, if you can go back to Romans 12, 1. It says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we present our bodies a living sacrifice. Don't be conformed to this world. He said, don't do what the world's doing. Do what he's called us to do. And he has called each person to do something. And it is going to be all about pleasing him. Our lives as Christians should be about pleasing him, not somebody else, not even yourself. It's about him. And again, we're talking about this in context of humility. It's grace to the humble. Well, where's that grace going to be? It's going to be to the humble person. Grace is help. It's enablement to do something. So we humble ourselves. The other verse said, humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God that he would exalt us in due time. We come to him, say, here, Lord, here I am. What would you have me to do? And then he takes us, he's going to direct us, he's going to guide us, he's going to help us. But it's going to be over time, and we are not to try to please those around us, it's to please him. And that's what we're going to touch on today. Because it's real tempting, even if you know what, you believe you know what you're called to do, you start functioning in that. You have to be careful because the way of this world, notice it says, that we just read, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing your mind to what? To what God has said. Replacing any thoughts that don't line up with the Word of God with God's Word and God's will. Because it will be tempting, all of us will be pulled, being in this world, to try to do things like the world, to try to do things like other people would like us to do it, to be what other people, the way they're doing certain things, and to be pushed. But at the end of the day, We are going to stand before God and we're going to give an account for what we did according, not what somebody else thinks we should do, but what he told us to do and what he asked us to do and what he equipped us to do. Amen. Let's look at, put it up on the screen. We'll turn to a few verses here, but let's put this one on the screen. Hebrews 12. We go to Hebrews 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Who set that race before us? God. He set a race before you. He set a race before me. Did your neighbor or your spouse or your mom or your dad or your grandmother or your child set that race before you? No. So we don't need to do what somebody else wants us to do. We need to do what God would call us to do. And that's going to take being humble. Humility is going to say, this is what he wants me to do. Somebody else may ask you, why are you doing that? You're good at this and this and this. And we're going to have to be in just stable and strong and humble enough to say, God asked me to do this, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. I'm going to do it the way he asked me to do it and not get pulled off into what somebody else would want you to do, somebody else's call, somebody else's vision, somebody else's ideas, because the world has lots of ideas. Other people, well-meaning, and could be exactly right Christians for what they're called to do, but that's not what you're called to do. You know, you may be a business owner. Not all businesses are the same. You know, you may be in another vocation where you're working as an employee in a business. Well, you need to know, how is that supposed to look? How is your family supposed to look? People can, you know, have division of responsibilities in many different ways. And, you know, you can feel like, well, I'm supposed to be doing it this way. Well, we need to line up with the Word of God. We need to be sure we're following biblical principles, but then we need to follow God's plan for our life and not be influenced in what somebody else wants us to do, because at the end of the day, you're not going to give an account for what he called somebody else to do. You're not going to give an account for what he told your neighbor to do or somebody else in your family to do. You're going to give an account for what he called you to do. So it said, where will we have up? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, in this, notice in the context we're talking about, it said that he has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Well, he's told each one to do something. And there is faith that comes by hearing. And so God, Jesus, is the head of the church. Jesus sets each one as he would want, and he is going to tell each person what he would want you to do. And now he is the author and the finisher of the faith. And who are we supposed to look to while we're running this race? Jesus. Keep our eyes focused on him, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We follow what he said. We keep our eyes on what he said. Lord, am I doing what you would have me to do? That's the question. We want to please him. Galatians 1:10. You put that up. We don't have to turn there. Galatians 1:10 says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Who are we pleasing? Who are we serving? A bondservant, bondservant is a person that has decided to become a servant. But he said, if I please men, the Apostle Paul said, if I please men, I wouldn't be a bondservant of Christ. Who am I pleasing? Who are we pleasing? The answer ought to be, yeah, God. But we need to be honest with ourselves. There is a push to please men and to do things like other people are doing and to do things like the world does, because it's always changing. The world is always pushing, and as a Christian, the way we live our lives, we want to relate to people in the world, but we are not of the world. We're in it, but we're not of it. And so there is this pressure for you and I to change what we're doing. And even, like I said, just other Christians. Well, they're doing it this way. They're a good, godly person. Why wouldn't we do it that way? Well, we have to go back to the Bible. What does the Bible say? And then what has he told us? There are general principles in the Word, but then there are his individual instructions to us, and we got to make sure we're doing that and being faithful to that call. Ephesians. Let's go ahead and turn over to Ephesians. Look at this one, and then we'll look at some in Colossians, which is just two books over. So Ephesians 6, verse 5. God is so faithful, and he is way, way, way smarter than we are. And if he set us in a certain area and asked us to do something, then we need to be sure we're doing that and be conscious of the fact, yes, there's going to be other things pulling us, but God is smarter. We need to have it constantly in the forefront of our mind. God is smarter. If he's placed me here and he's asked me to do this, then that is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it well, and I'm not going to be pulled because I'm going to be rewarded according to what he asked me to do. Ephesians 6, verse 5. Bondservants, now this is talking, you know, today, and you know, in our country, we don't have servants, but this would apply to people in employment. You know, your boss. Bondservants, it could say employees, and then where it says masters, employers, your employer. But this is general as well. It says, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So you could say, in the where we are now, employees, if you go back to the beginning of verse 5, employees, be obedient to those who are your masters or your employers according to the flesh. You know, in the flesh, you're employed there. They're not your masters over your, they don't have control over your spirit. They don't have any control over your personal life, but they're your employer. With fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart. So he's saying, be obedient, you know, do a good job, do what they ask you to do. As to Christ, verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers. What does that mean? Not just doing what looks good and when they're watching you, a good show, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So what do you say? In this context, but we're saying this in general, he's saying, don't work just trying to be put on a good show for your boss. You're doing it unto God. Do it as if it's unto God, exactly what God would have you to do as unto him, not just doing the right thing when somebody's watching you. Well, that applies to everything. It's not just employment. Don't do things because somebody else thinks it looks good. Or when you're around certain people, well, I'm going to do it this way, I'm going to put on a good show. What did God say? We're supposed to please him. Well, you know, somebody disagrees with what I do in my family, so when I'm around them, I'm going to do this. Well, we all have that pressure. Peer pressure. Peer pressure can be good. Peer pressure can be bad. But ultimately, we're not going to give an account to our neighbor. We're going to give an account to God. So what does the Word say, and what does he ask us to do? And then we do things to Him. You see this, we're going to read more scriptures. We do it unto Him, not unto people. Verse 7, with good will, doing service as to the Lord, and what? Not to men. We don't do it unto men. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Flip over to Colossians 3, verse 22, just a couple books back. Go turn the page forward a few books. You'll run right into Colossians. Colossians 3, verse 22. This is a... If you look in Ephesians and Colossians in general, there's a lot of parallel verses. This is a parallel verse to what we just read in Ephesians. But Colossians 3, verse 22 says, bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily. I like that. Whatever we do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve who? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Christ. He is our master. He's the one that's the head of the body of Christ. He's the one we're serving. Now, we're in this world. We have roles. We have calls. We have things that He's asked us to do. We just have to be sure we're doing it the way He would have us to do. There's a reward. Notice that. There's a reward for what we're doing. We're not getting into that today. Another message. But there are rewards for serving God. And it's what He asked us to do. But we don't do it based, we don't do what we do and do it a certain way because somebody expects that of us. That's a way to get off. Humility will do what He's called us to do, even if there's pressure to do it a different way, even if there's pressure to do something else. Remember, the only thing that we're graced to do is what He's called us to do. If I start letting peer pressure move me into another realm, and He hasn't asked me to do that, and if I'm trying to do it a certain way and He hasn't asked me to do that, then the enablement and the strength and the grace is not there to do it. The Bible says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Do what He said, the way He said to do it, and He said He'll exalt you. Colossians 3:17, that's just a few verses back, says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever we do in word, in deed, is for Him. We are representatives of God all the time. Hallelujah. That doesn't have to be pressure. We are here. That's the reason we're still here on the earth. Because there are people that need to come into the family of God. Amen. There are other people that have not come into the family of God that need to. There are lots and lots and lots of people. In this area, there are millions of people that need to come into the family of God. That's why you and I are here still. Otherwise, we can just do our business up in heaven and just get out of here. Right? Why are we here unless there's some other purpose? There are people that still need to come into the family, that need to come with us, that need to know Jesus. And so we're going to get that done. We're going to all have a part to play in God's, in the body of Christ universal, and then in the local body. And God has something for each of us to do. Well, while we're doing that, we need to be doing it the way He said. And we are representatives of Him. Everything we do, we ought to be thinking, I'm doing this unto God. Because it's tempting to start doing it for people. Well, what's so-and-so going to think of this? What do they think? You know, I'm going to do it that way because that'll please somebody. That's a way to get away from what God has asked us to do. Everything we do, we're doing for Him. Amen. We're doing for His kingdom. We're doing as unto God the Father. Go ahead and put up 1 Thessalonians 2 on the screen. Just going through some verses along this line. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. Amen. Entrusted. We are, you believe God Himself has entrusted men to share the gospel with the rest of His family, who the people that will come in to be His family. He entrusted a bunch of apostles and disciples and then left the earth and said, you guys take it. That's amazing. He entrusted men, and we are our current trustees. We're people that are on the earth and that were entrusted with the gospel, with the good news. Even so, we speak not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. For neither at any time, let's see, do we go into that one? Yeah, for neither did any at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness, God is a witness, nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles to Christ. Notice that. We didn't seek glory from men. We're talking about doing what He would ask us to do as unto God, not as unto men. Doing things because men want us to do. The Bible clearly says, go ahead and put up Proverbs 29. That is a trap. It says, the fear of man brings a snare. The fear doesn't mean you're running away, although people can be running away, but that's literally doing things because other people want you to. Being so concerned with what other people think that we don't do what God wants us to do. It says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. We'll be safe. It is a trap to start doing something because somebody else wants you. Because people, either on purpose or just because they're so concerned with themselves, most people are not concerned with your well-being or my well-being. And so whether they do it, what I was going to say, on purpose or just because they are just focused on themselves, they're just oblivious, can you do what they want you to do, you can end up hurting because of it. Hurting yourself, hurting your family, hurting your health, because you were more concerned with what they thought than what God was telling. God may have been warning you, no, don't go there, but the social pressure, the peer pressure is, I got to do it this way. Well, pride will not want to yield and will want to say, yeah, but I want to look right in this situation. And we saw over and over the trap of pride. Well, that's what we're talking about. This is another version of it, another look at it. You doing something because somebody else wants you to, and ignoring what God said, is pride. Humility will say, no, I can't do that. Why? Because He told me to do something else. Yeah, but everybody's doing it. But He said, do this. Yeah, but we really want you. Oh, man, we really want you to do this. And boy, that really helped us. Well, you got to watch that. We have to be led by God and what He would have us to do, not by needs, not by social pressure, not by custom. It's what is He asking us to do? Not as men pleasers, but pleasing the Lord. Amen? John 12, can you put up John 12, 42? This is an example of this. Notice this. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in Him, in Jesus. In Jesus' day. They believed in who He was. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him. because of the religious, the Pharisees, other religious leaders. So the rulers, people believed in Jesus, but because of somebody else that was prominent, they would not confess Jesus, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Verse 43, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. When we get to heaven, nobody's going to care about the praise of men. Don't know what all it's going to look like, but there are rewards. We just read that. This world is going to be a distant, it's going to fade into the background when, I mean, the world and the pressures and everything, what we did in the world is going to be in the forefront. And what we did for him, and when we said, God, what did you want me to do here? And push through, oh, we're going to be so happy. Number one, we're going to see the fruit of what he asked us to do. Number two, at that point, it's going to become evident that anything we did for him was the right thing, regardless of who thought what, regardless of the pressure, all that pressure is dissipated. It's going to be very evident that doing what he told us to do was worth it. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm so glad I stayed in my ear position. I'm so glad I didn't try to be the arm, but I stayed as a hand. Oh, you know, all the eyes were coming at me, and I was an ear, but they were trying to get me to move over, or, you know, the stomach was telling me, you know, you really should be an eye. And I stayed. And we say, that's ludicrous. But when we get up there, we're going to say, God, I did what you told me to do, and it's going to be evident. But right now, we see this, and we're like, no, we would do this. I mean, we don't really think nobody, but we're like, well, surely. You just stand up. But this was very real. These people had power. They don't want to be cast out. So people are like, I'm not gonna say I believe Jesus. Well, each of us, he's asked us to do something, and the good news is he has enabled us to do it, but we'll have to push past some of this. Let's not fool ourselves and think we don't live in some, you know, made-up world where, well, yeah, they didn't. Sometimes we look at the people in the Bible and we don't think of them as human and having the same pressures and feelings like we do. Like, well, it was obvious. No, you read all the accounts in the Bible and you read how things turned out. It was not obvious to those people any more than it would be obvious to you. When David was coming up against Goliath, he did not get to see the end of the account that he was going to take Goliath out. He had to go by faith. When Joseph was in the dungeon, he didn't have the benefit of reading the rest of the account to know that this was all going to be over soon. These guys did not know who Jesus was like you and I know who Jesus is. They had pressure like you have pressure, like you have an employer or you have a business or you have friends or you have family, and there are pressures to try to push you off what God Almighty has told you to do. And if you were right reading your story or somebody else was, you're like, well, surely they're not going to listen to that person. It's inconsequential. Don't they know that? Have you read a book and you're like, no, don't do that. It's obvious. That's the bad guy. Or you're watching a movie, you know, don't tell them that. They're going to. That's the snitch. Don't tell them. They're gonna sell you out. It's going to come back to haunt you. Well, we don't get to see things like that, but right now, this is going on right now in our lives. May not look just like this. That's not my point, believing on Jesus or not. The point is, in anything that we are called to do or what the Word would say us to do, tell us to do, we have to be always conscious of, okay, is this what God wants me to do through His Word and through His Spirit, or am I listening and succumbing to people? And pride and humility have a lot to do with this, because, oh, it's always a pull to, well, I want to look good. And if we, the more we get rid of pride, then it will be like, I don't care how I look. What does God think of me? What does he think of me, not what somebody else thinks? But this world is so full of vanity, and we're flooded with it all the time. If we're not careful, we start to pull into it. Well, that's what everybody else is doing. Of course you do this. It's easy to fall into that. But God has given us the ability, given us the help to follow him and to do what he told us to do. Look, can you put up Acts real quick? Acts 5, 29. Or actually, can you go back a little bit? Yeah, 25, thanks. It says, so Peter, the apostles, they had been thrown into prison, then they got miraculously out of prison, and then they're back preaching again. And so then somebody comes to him and says, goes to the officials and says, look, the men whom you put in prison, they're standing out in the temple and teaching the people again. They got out. Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, set the apostles and the high priest, and asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? Because they brought him and said, you're not to do that anymore. Did all they could. Then they threw him in prison again. And he says, look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Amen. We ought to obey God rather than men. Verse 30, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. He's not mincing words, is he? Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. So also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Amen. Amen. God would have us to obey him rather than men. And we look at that, we say, well, of course. Well, there are always the pressures that are going to pull us off. And we just have to look back and say, like, wait, am I obeying him? Lord, what would you have me? Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, what would you have me to do in this situation? Lord, what would you have me to do in this situation? That's the stabilizing factor that needs to be there all the time. And he will be faithful. He will help us. He will enable us with his grace to do it. He'll bring us forward. He'll bring us over. And eventually, we are going to see clearly, not like we do here on this earth. Thank God for the leading of the Spirit. Thank God for his word. But when we get out of this realm, we are going to see so clearly, and we're going to be so glad when we walked according to what he would have us to do. Amen.